Dewey, by contrast, campaigned like a man who had already won. He refused to debate, avoided specifics, and plotted his cabinet. He accused Truman of having abandoned Poland to Stalin and for doing too little to aid the nationalists in China. But he failed to raise serious public doubts about the Democrats' commitment to fighting the Cold War. Partly, that was because Dewey, who high-mindedly supported Truman's response to the USSR's June blockade of West Berlin, was a more genteel politician than Nixon. But it was also because in the intervening 2 years, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party had transformed itself, and that transformation had altered the terms of partisan debate. On election eve, experts remained sure Dewey would win. They were all wrong. Truman won by just over 2 million votes. Had Wallace garnered the 4 million commentators expected when he launched his campaign, he would have thrown the election to Dewey, but he received only 1.2 million. Democrats took back both houses of Congress, and Humphrey won his race for the Senate. It was, noted the New York Times, a miracle of electioneering for which there are few, if any, parallels. The Communist Party would never again be a significant force on the American left, and the ADA, wrote the New Republic, could now speak with authority for the country's liberals. The battle within liberalism had ended, and it would be a generation before it erupted again. But an even more grueling struggle with the right was just getting underway. That new struggle began on a bitterly cold day in January 1949, when Truman delivered an inaugural address that offered his fullest account yet of the new liberal foreign policy. Essentially, it rested on 3 interlocking planks. The first was containment, military efforts to prevent Soviet aggression. In his inaugural, Truman proposed giving containment institutional form, NATO. The new organization not only publicly committed the United States to Western Europe's protection, but came with more than $1 billion in military aid to help America's allies strengthen their own defenses as well. These efforts, Truman officials insisted, were not designed to provoke war. They were meant to avoid it. By persuading Moscow that aggression was futile, the United States hoped to gradually modify its behavior. Containment required patience.